Awesome. Well, we are back in our series. We just have 2 weeks left in our series entitled Devoted, as we've been talking through this whole idea of what does it mean to live lives that are devoted to the Lord. And I am so excited for next week. Next week, you just got to be here next week, okay? Next week, the one and the only, for the very first time, Pastor Robbie is going to be preaching, bringing the word next week. If you've ever had an opportunity to just have a conversation with Robbie, you will walk away with nuggets of like, wow, that was good. And I'm excited to have him share next week. He's going to be sharing a little bit of his story. If you don't know his story, it's unbelievable. But he's going to be wrapping up our series with a word that I think is going to be an encouragement for us. And I'll say this, if you have somebody in your life who needs encouragement, or you're somebody in your life who maybe has struggled with things like addiction or some other challenges, his story, I think, could impact their life. And so make an invitation next week. I think it's going to be a great opportunity. You won't want to miss out. But this morning, we're going to dig in. This is my last message within the Devoted series. And we've been spending a lot of time over the last several weeks talking about how we should behave as devoted to the Lord. That's something we talked about. But today we're going to have a different conversation. We're going to talk about how we need to think as it pertains to being a follower of Christ. And we're going to deal with a topic that all of us have wrestled with since we were kids. As soon as I talk about it, you're like, yeah, I've dealt with that. But unfortunately, as adults, we still wrestle with the same thing. And I think God has a word for us today, all right? You've got your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse number 3. If you don't know where Ephesians ends, it's a little book. It's in the New Testament. If you need to look at your table of contents, go for it. But while you turn there, Ephesians chapter 1, would you stand with me across the room as we read our text together? If you're a guest here, this is our tradition as a church to stand when we read the word, to say, God, we value your word more than what I got to say. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3, says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, this is a good word for us today, God. And so, God, I pray, Father, that we would hear it, but more than we would hear it, God, would we receive it? God, would our hearts be open to it, God? And I know today, I guarantee, God, across this room, there are people who are currently stuck in bondage. There are chains to the way they are thinking. There are toxic thoughts that they have about you and about who they are. And so, God, I pray today you would break some of those off and that there would be freedom in this place today. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. There is one thing that we all wrestle with, whether we know it or not, okay? One word we wrestle with, and it's this: identity. Identity. Every single one of us deals with this. We wrestle with a simple question. The question is, who am I? Really, who am I? And it starts from a really young age. Most of us spend our whole lives trying to answer this question. Think back when you see kids, even toddlers, you'll see 2 years, 3 year olds, 4 year olds, they're playing together. They're constantly like, am I good enough? Am I strong enough? Am I smart? They're trying to figure out where they fit in. You know, you can watch a bunch of kids play and you can see like there's a pecking order with kids even playing at a young age. And then you go to school. You know, you get into school and the exact same thing happens. You know what it's like? You're on the, you know, out on the playground. You're at the lunch. Remember the lunchroom? It's like, where do I fit in? Who am I apart? Like all these kind of things. And then it gets really hard because you get to middle school, right? You get to high school. And everyone's just so nice in middle school and high school, aren't they? Right? It's just easy. You just fit in. No big deal. No, it's hard. We're constantly like, I can't imagine. Like those of you who are middle schools and high schoolers right now, I can't imagine. I mean, it was hard enough when I was a kid to get raised. I can't imagine the challenges that you're facing on a daily basis, the struggles on top of all the social media and all this other stuff that's added. Like adults, you know what I'm talking about? Like life was hard enough as it is, you know? But then we do things, like we do really dumb things to try and fit in when you're in high school. Some of you old ladies out there, you wore hair like this back in the day when you were trying to fit in. You're like, look at my hair, look how cool I am. Okay, and some of the men laugh at the ladies, but some of you older men, you wore outfits that look like this at some point in your life. And it's like, why? I don't know, but you did. That's great. And then there's like the children of the 80s and the 90s. How many of you women, your hair looked like this at some point in time? You bang. How many women jacked those bangs up? Like, hike that sucker up. How high would you? It's great. And then the men rocking those mullets, right? Right? Business in the front, party in the back, right? It's great. And then the 90s came along, and some of us in the 90s, we wore pants that looked like this. How many had Zubas back in the 90s? Anybody have Zubas? Zubas made a comeback a few years ago. You can buy them on Amazon. It's awesome, okay? It's ridiculous. You can take that off. We don't need to look at the Zubas. But like we all, and like some of you young people, you're like, oh, those are dumb hairdos. And in 20 years, children, you will realize that what you do right now, your hairstyle right now is awful. It's awful. And you will realize it. Oh, gosh, no. And all the parents said, amen. Okay. Okay, has anybody ever seen, you know, like boys like to do this like thing with their hair. You know what? Has anybody seen the picture of the parents who are mocking it? There's like a mom or a dad. He took bananas and he taped them to his head so the bananas were coming off and just being like, he's like, look at how cool I am, like his son. It was ridiculous. Anyways, okay, but we do these weird things to try and fit in. And then you get to like college, young adults, you get into that season, you're like, what's my future? Where am I at? Who am I? I'm like, what am I accomplishing? You know, some of you, you're single and you're in this place, like, who am I? How do I fit in this world in some way? Some of you decide to get married suddenly. And you get married and now you're asking new questions because like your identity is wrapped up a little bit like with another person. And you're like, am I losing who I am? And like, where am I at? And then you have kids. Some of you have had kids before. Then suddenly your identity is wrapped up and like, you don't even know who you are anymore. Like you're a mom and you're just like, I spend, you know, the 20 years just taking care of a child. I've lost myself in some way. And then you get later and like kids move out of the house and suddenly you're once again, who am I? What am I about? What's my purpose? All these kind of things. And then you retire, right? You retire. You're like, do I have a purpose? Like what am I? What am I about? What is my life all about? This question of who I am never ends. But there's a problem. And I've shared this before. Is that we're constantly in a state of trying to find our identity, try and find who we are. But if we can find our identity, then we can also lose it. If you're grabbing onto things to try and find our identity in something, you can lose it. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you found your identity in your kids and then your kids left the home and you didn't know who you were anymore. Some of you, you find your identity in a job or a career, and then you lose that job. You lose that career, or you retire, and suddenly you don't know who you are anymore. Some of you found your identity in money, in stuff, and then you lost it. Some of you found your identity in a relationship. Maybe it was a boyfriend. Maybe it was a girlfriend. Maybe it was a marriage, but that relationship ended, and now you don't know who you are anymore. You're still struggling. You're wrestling with it. You found your identity in your appearance, and you got old and wrinkly and bald. And suddenly you're like, I don't know who I am. I'm not as good looking as I used to be. I mean, that's not my problem. I just age, so no. But some of you, you found your identity in like influence. Like you had influence. You were in a place where like people knew you, they heard you. And suddenly like life shifted. You don't have that influence anymore. And you're just like who am I? What am I doing in this world? See, if you can find your identity, you can lose it. And around here, you know, we say it all the time, we are gospel-centered. We are centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the gospel. We're going to be reminded of the gospel and realize that in the gospel, we have an identity that has been given and can never be taken away from us, okay? And so I love the passage we just read, Ephesians, man. It is, so if you're ever discouraged, just open your Bible, start reading chapter 1. It's an encouragement to you. If you're not familiar with first chapter, actually verse 3 all the way through verse 14 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, if you go into in your Bible, it looks like lots of sentences and there's a couple paragraphs and all that. But if you go to the original Greek, it is one run-on sentence. You know, how many of you have ever had a kid who gets all excited and they just like, bah, 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 bah. I feel like this is Paul just like jacked up about what is available to us in Christ and just go, 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 go. This is just powerful statement after powerful statement of what is available to us in Christ, okay? And so I want to talk about this phrase that we see. We see this phrase in Ephesians, but we see it actually throughout all of Paul's writing. There's a little phrase that he says, and he talks about being in Christ. We are in Christ. We are in him. It's one of the favorite phrases that Paul uses. You know, but what does it mean to be in Christ? And so I want to kind of explain it and give us an understanding. Because for Paul, being in Christ, that's his understanding of what it means to be a believer, to be a follower of Christ. That's his understanding. But what does that mean? And for me, there's a picture that I've used before. I've used this maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago. I used this illustration. But I think it's helpful for us to understand what it means when we're reading our scripture, okay? And so I want you for a moment, I want you to imagine a massive ocean, okay? Like the biggest, like the Atlantic Ocean. I want you, and I've got a picture of the ocean here for us that we can put up. This is our ocean, okay? Massive, just massive ocean that we have here, okay? And so you're envisioning the massive, the Atlantic Ocean, and I take you and I drop you in the ocean, okay? There you are. There's you sitting in the ocean, okay? And I tell you, swim to shore. Go for it. Now, we all know nothing we can do. Doesn't matter how hard we swim, no matter how good, I don't care if you think you're a good swimmer, you are not getting to shore, right? You're in the middle of the Atlantic, you are going to die. Like, that's what's going to happen. That's the state you're going to find yourself in. So I say, okay, you can swim to shore, or you can get in this nice little boat that I have provided for you. That's your choice. I think all of us would say, obviously, we're going to get into the boat. That's normal, okay? This is salvation, okay? This is what it means. Paul's understanding, he says, in Christ. I got another picture. This is what it means to be in Christ. You make a decision to say, you know what? Every single one of us, if it was up to ourselves, we can't get to God. We can't save ourselves. We can't redeem. It doesn't matter how hard you try. No matter what you do, you are dead in your sin. That's the reality. But God says, if you will turn to me, if you will surrender to me, if you will submit yourself to me and make me the Lord of your life, I'll do for you what you can never do for yourself. I will take you to shore. That's salvation. And I think for a lot of us, that's where we stop. Thank you, Jesus. You saved me, right? You've redeemed me. I get to go to heaven one day. And that's good. That's good news. That's a part of the gospel, but that is a very limited understanding of the gospel because there is more available for us than that. Because hear this, when you look at this picture, how many know there are certain things that are true of you when you're in the boat versus when you're in the water, right? And it's not because of anything having to do with it. When you're in the water, right, you're tired. You're exhausted. You're straining as hard as you can, right? Just trying to keep your head above water. When you get in the boat, you're at peace, right? When you're in the water, you're all wet, right? You get up here, you're all dry. Are you dry because there's anything special about you? No, it's simply because you got in the boat. Out here, you're exhausted. You're hungry. You're thirsty. You need some sustenance. You get in here, guess what? There's food, right? We got Chipotle in here. We got some fresh water, like not salt water. We got fresh water. This is good stuff, right? For some of you, we've got Mountain Dew, okay? The Mountain Dew addicts in the house. There's something about Mountain Dew addicts, okay? Like to some people, like you're addicted to Mountain Dew. You're addicted to Mountain Dew, okay? All right, we got whatever you need here. And do you get that because there's anything special about you? No, it's simply because you got in the boat. Suddenly, there are now things that are true about you just because you got in the boat. And this is what it means to be in Christ. When you are in Christ, there are things that are true about you, not because you are great, but simply because you are in Christ. Now, this isn't like cheesy positive self-talk, okay? How many of you remember Stuart Smalley back on Saturday Night Live back in like the 80s? He used to stand in front of a mirror and he'd say, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me. This is super cheesy, super cheesy. And I think in our world, there's a lot of like positive self, like just be positive, you know, just read a good self-help book. This isn't self-help. I'm not trying to like just be cheesy and positive here this morning. This is spiritual reality that we have to get a hold of. This is truth that's available to us. There are blessings when we are in Christ. Blessings include things like forgiveness and redemption and salvation. Those things are available to us simply because we are in Christ. But the gospel is even better than that, because it deals with fundamental things such as our identity, who we are. We don't have time to deal with everything in this passage. There's a lot that's going on in this passage, but I just want us this morning to see just a couple of things as we walk through, all right? If you're taking notes, I just want you to write a few things. The first one is this: in Christ, you are chosen. In Christ, you are chosen. How many of you remember picking teams in elementary school. Raise your hand. You remember that? Okay. Remember you go out on a recess and it's like time to pick teams. And for some of you, that was the most stressful time of the day, right? And you're out there and like choosing teams and some people get picked first, right? Yeah, I want to get picked first. But how many of you know the last person to get picked didn't get picked? You know what I mean? Like nobody wanted you on the team, right? You were stuck with that person. Whoever the last person, you were stuck with it. And I think for some of us, that's how we feel with God. God wouldn't pick us. He doesn't want us. He's stuck with us, right? He has to put up with us in some way. But in Christ, that is not what scripture says. It says, in Christ, you have been chosen. Look at what it says in verse number 4. It says, for he chose us in him, right? In Christ. Not chose us, I don't know, chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. Like this was his decision to do something. Look at what it says. To be holy and blameless in his sight. Okay? Hear this for a second. The King of Kings has chosen you. And guess what? It's not because of you. He didn't choose you because of you. See, think back on the playground. Why did you get chosen on the playground? Because you were bigger, you were faster, you were stronger, you were better at whatever the activity or the sport that you were playing. That's why you got chosen, okay? But that's not what's going on here. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, you have been chosen to be holy and blameless. You aren't chosen because you are holy and blameless. You are chosen so you can be holy and blameless before the Lord. And I think this is a mind shift that all of us need to have, right? You're chosen to become something, not because you are something. I've said this before, but we aren't chosen because of our greatness. We are chosen because of his goodness, okay? It's him. It is his character. And this is why it's good news for you, because it's not your merit, but his grace that offers salvation for every single one of you. There is nothing in your life that will ever be greater than the fact that the King of all creation has chosen you. You are his. You are his own, right? He chose you. What does it say in Corinthians? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Christ purchased you. You have been chosen by the King of Kings. And so what I want you to do is something super awkward for a moment. Turn to your neighbor. I want you to say, you are chosen. I want you to say, in Christ, you are chosen. Now I want you to look at me and get even more awkward. Say, in Christ, I am chosen. I don't care if you believe that statement or not. In Christ, that's a spiritual reality. That's truth. And so what we have to do as followers of Christ, and this is the battle that we all have on a regular basis. The battle is, will we come in alignment with the truth of what God says, or will we base our lives on our feelings? Because there are plenty of times in your life, you're not gonna feel like I'm chosen by God. Look how chosen I'm. Nope. I don't care if I feel that way or not. The spiritual reality is in Christ, I am chosen, okay? And I have to begin to come in alignment with truth, not in alignment with my feelings, all right? We go on there though, because you aren't just casually chosen like a cheeseburger at McDonald's, okay? It says that in Christ, number 2, you are adopted. You are adopted. Look what it says in verse number 5. It says this, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. I think adoption is one of the most beautiful pictures that we get when it comes to the gospel, because this image that we're identityless, right? That's what scripture says. We have no identity. We have no family. We have no associations. We have no hope. That's what it says. We're orphans apart from God. Like that's the spiritual reality that we find ourselves in apart from Christ, trying to make it on our own, trying to appease God in some way. That's where we find ourselves. And I think a lot of times we can feel that way before God. Like we're just trying to make it before God. We're just trying to be good enough before God. Raise your hand. I love doing this. How many of you are extroverts? Raise your hand. The extroverts in the room. Okay. Okay. Put your hand out. Introverts in the room. Raise your hand. Okay. Awesome. And I say this all the time because I'm the introvert, right? So big crowds make me feel uncomfortable. And I know church, I'm talking to the introverts for a second. Introverts, I get it. Like, I get church sometimes is like uncomfortable. I say this all the time. I love having coffee with people one-on-one. Lobby after church takes work for me. It does. Like, that's uncomfortable. Any introverts, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, some of you introverts, I watch you while I'm closing prayer. You're bolting. Like, you're gone. You're like, I don't want to talk to anybody. That stresses me out. Okay. And actually, I'm just going to give this a little Papa Greg moment for you. Okay. Introverts, I get it. Like, it's hard work. And because I know lots of introverts, whenever I talk about this, I'll have introverts come talk to me. And I know sometimes in the church, you're just waiting for everybody to be your friend. Because you're like, I want everybody else to be my friend. Introverts, sometimes we have to step outside of our comfort zones and go be the friend and go connect with people, okay? And I know introverts, a lot of things we say, well, why don't the extroverts act more like us? They're not, okay? They're just not, right? Introverts, they're never gonna do that. They're always, we have to be sometimes get outside of our comfort zones. That's just how it is, okay? Off my soapbox for a moment, all right? But for all of us, it doesn't matter whether you're extrovert or introvert, when you walk into a room, what's the first thing you do? When you walk into a crowd, it's the first thing you do. Try and find, where do I fit in? Who do I know? Like, who can I go to? First question you ask. Have you ever walked into a crowd, you ever walked in an environment and you don't know anybody in the room? And it's that moment of like, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to fit. And spiritually, that's the feeling that we have. We don't know. We don't fit. We all struggle for a sense of belonging, but the hope of the gospel is that in Christ, you have been adopted. And adoption isn't just this little casual thing. I don't have time to dig into this morning, but adoption means you receive a whole lot. One who was on their own, had no hope, no future, nothing. Suddenly you have all those things because you've been brought into a new family. There's an inheritance involved. There's a future. There's a hope that's involved. And that's what it means for us to be in Christ. We have a new name, we have a new family, we have new association, and in Christ, we have a brand new life. We are not orphans. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Makes no sense at all. But it's the spiritual reality. I don't care if you feel like a son of God. I don't care if you feel like a king, daughter's king. But you are a daughter. You are a son of the King. That's who you are. And will we come into alignment with the truth? Or will we just use our feelings all the time? Okay? Galatians says it this way in Galatians 3:26, where it says this, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It goes on just a few verses later in chapter 4, where it says, you are no longer slaves, right? We're not here working for our master alone, right? Don't hurt me, no. But you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. There is an inheritance for you. It's the spiritual reality. You are sons and daughters of the King. Why is it? Because we got in the boat. It's not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but simply because we are children of the King. I'm going to get some help this morning. And so I'm going to invite a little helper up this morning. Can my helper come up to the stage real quick? Come on up. Give it up for my helper here this morning. If you don't know who this helper is, this is my daughter. It's my daughter. What's your name?
Diella.
Hi, Diella. Diella, how old are you, Diella?
11.
She's 11. Okay. When was your birthday, Diella?
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. On the count of three, happy birthday, Diella. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday, Diella.
I really wanted to have you sing for her, but if I had you sing after church today, I would get, oh my goodness, Dad, that was so embarrassing. That's what I would hear. And now she's going to say, Dad, it was so embarrassing when you talked like me. That was so embarrassing. Of course you are. That's great. Okay. So here's the deal. We got a lot of kids in this church. We do. I mean, there's so many of you got kids. Even this morning, I was just watching kid after kid after kid come in the door. And I love all your kids. They're great. They're amazing. I love giving them high fives. Some of your kids come up and give me hugs. I love all that kind of stuff. But they're not coming to my house and living. Okay. That's just how it is. Like, I don't want your kids to live in my house. They can visit every once in a while. Like if you call ahead, but they're not coming to live in my house. Okay, but Diella, she gets to live in my house. Why? She's my daughter. There are certain privileges that come with being my daughter. Okay, not all your kids, they don't get all the same privileges that my daughter gets. She didn't get set up. I didn't even set you up for any of this stuff. I just said, come up here and I'm going to ask you questions. So we'll see if this goes. Okay, so there are privileges of being my daughter, right? Okay, there's something that I love, a treat that I love to go get sometimes, and I'll take you kids to go get it. What do we like to get?
ice cream.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a place that I love to go to get that ice cream. What is it?
Cold Stone.
Exactly. It's my favorite place in the world. Okay, and what's my favorite ice cream at Cold Stone?
Vanilla with brownie.
Boom, nailed it. She knows me so well. Love this. Okay. So, and that's a privilege. See, because my kids, my parents were a little cheap, and we could, because it's not frugal to go out for ice cream. You got to buy it from home. And when I was a kid, I said, when I get older, I'm taking my kids to get ice cream. I don't care. I will sacrifice other things. And so we go out and we buy ice cream. Why? Because you're my daughter. I'm not buying all your kids ice cream, but I'm buying her as much ice cream as she wants to. It's a privilege. Okay. Do you have a bed?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, did you pay for that bed?
No.
You didn't pay for that bed. No, you didn't. I bought that bed, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Me and Mom, we took care of buying that. Do you have a room?
Yeah.
Okay, did you pay for that room?
No.
Are you paying for that room currently?
No.
That's great. I'm glad. That's a privilege of yours living in my house. I'm helping. I want her to understand the privilege of being in this house. Okay? You had a birthday yesterday. Mom took you shopping, didn't she? And she bought you some clothes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. You didn't have to pay for those clothes, did you? No, that's a good day. That's a good day, okay? There's certain privileges that will come. In fact, when you wake up in the morning and you're hungry, we let you eat, don't we? Exactly. Yeah. Do we make you pay for that food? No, yeah. We don't. We went out to dinner last night, didn't we? We celebrated your birthday. Did I make you pay?
No.
No, Dad's got this. We'll take care of this. Why? You're my daughter. There are privileges with being my daughter. Even if you don't bring it to the table, I remember when you were a baby. Like, you were just a little baby. We remember that. And Amber, it was a hard pregnancy. There was challenges that we were concerned about. We didn't know. And I remember back when she first came out and she started crying. And for Amber and I, it was one of the sweetest sounds we had ever heard because we didn't know what was going to end up happening. And we were so, so grateful. And we were just so excited. I mean, we were just so excited to bring you home. And we brought you home and you didn't bring anything to the table, okay? Nothing. You didn't have money. You didn't have a job. You didn't have nothing. You just pooped and you cried. That's all you did, okay? I'm glad you don't do that anymore, but okay? But you didn't bring anything to the table, okay? And that's okay, right? Because you're our daughter and we love you. And I don't care. I didn't care that you didn't bring it because I would do anything for it. We would wake up in the middle of the night. We would serve you. We'd care for you. Why? Because you're our daughter and we care about you. You know what? You've gotten older now. And, there are times where you do exactly what I ask you to do, aren't there? And then there's some times where maybe you don't do exactly what I ask you to do, right? In those moments, you're still my daughter. Doesn't matter. Like, I know that sometimes I might not be as happy, but you're always gonna be my daughter. There's nothing you could do to take that away, okay? And like later in life, here's what's gonna happen. Later in life, there might be times where you do go exactly the directions I would hope and pray for you. And there might be moments where you don't. There might be moments in your life where everything is successful and you do everything and it's just amazing and everybody's singing your praises. And there might be moments in your life where things don't work out the way you want them to and you feel ashamed. And guess what? You're still my daughter. And I love you with my whole heart. Nothing can change that. My joy about you is not going to change based on who you are and none of those things. You are my daughter. You are my child, and I care about you. Your mother and I love you deeply, okay? And like tomorrow, we're going out on a little trip, right? We're taking a little road trip together. We're going to have some fun together. And here's the cool part. Have you planned anything for that trip?
No.
Okay, you haven't. Okay, do you have any idea how we're getting there?
No.
Not really. Okay. Do you have money to help pay for this trip?
Nope.
No. Okay, you don't have any of those things. But you're going to get in that car fully knowing it's taken care of, right? You're not going to freak out. You're not going to worry about it. Why? Because you know Dad's got it. Dad and Mom got this thing covered. Like, you can have a peace in your heart because you know I'm a child of Dad and Mom and I'm going to be okay. It changes the way you live because you don't have to freak out about stuff because, you know, we got you, right? I got you. This is what it means to be a child of God. It's changing the way that we think. Because I think for a lot of us, we still feel like we're trying to strive to be worthy of God's child. Listen, when she had nothing to bring to the table, she was still my child. And some of us, we need to have this coming back moment to the gospel a second. because we said we've surrendered our hearts to Christ. We've said we've responded to the gospel, but the gospel really wasn't good news because we still felt like I gotta deserve this somehow. I've still gotta prove myself to God. Now, are there things that bring me greater joy? Are there things that can bring me happiness with her behavior? Absolutely. Are there things that I believe of her and I wanna see her step into? Absolutely. Are there provisions that I make so that she can do more than what she thinks she can do in her own? Absolutely, but at the end of the day, she's still my child. And for some of us, we need to get a hold of that spiritual reality of who we are in Christ and begin to live up. Sometimes I'll call you up. I'll say, we don't act that way, right? We don't act that way. I expect more out of you because I know you can do better. I know you can do stronger. I know you don't have to act that way. I call you up to a higher level. So you don't got to behave that way. We don't act like that, right? And that's what God invites us to at times. He's calling us to a higher level. But it's not. It doesn't change. Whether she does or doesn't change the reality. So no, she is my child, and there's nothing that will change that, all right? Can you give it up for DL as she sits? Thank you, baby. Nailed it. Good job. So I want to close here this morning just with a few thoughts as we wrap up. I want to get to our big so what. We say this, big so what. What's the point of this thing? Big so what's a simple thought. Live from, not for. Live from, not for. When we don't understand our identity in Christ, we get faith in Jesus upside down. We operate from a weak religious mindset. Like I'm gonna work to prove myself to God. I'm gonna prove my righteousness. I'm gonna prove my worth. And that ends up being very toxic for us. Like I go to church to try and prove I'm religious. I try to be kind to people to prove that I'm a good person, right? To prove all those things. I'm trying to gain God's favor with my behavior. I'm living for an identity to try and prove it to God rather than from. But no amount of your righteous behavior will get the job done, okay? What does scripture say? You were dead in your transgression, and there's nothing a dead person can do to bring themselves back to life, okay? You are dead in your transgression. And this is the beauty of the gospel. This is why it is something that is beautiful, because in Christ, God gives us what we could never provide for ourselves. In Christ, you have been chosen. In Christ, you have been adopted. You are sons and daughters. And for many of us, hear this, for many of us, the biggest struggle isn't believing who God is, it's believing who God says we are. We can believe who God is. Yes, you're powerful. You're all these things. I have a hard time believing who I am in Christ because I don't feel like a victor. I don't feel like a son of the King of Kings. I don't feel like that all the time. But God is inviting us. Would we believe him? Would we live out the truth rather than just live out our feelings? And if we are sons and daughters, the challenge is live like it. Would we live like it? Would we live from our identity rather than living for identity? What does that look like? Teenager, teenage girl, right? Teenage girl, you're still trying to figure out who you are. Who am I in Christ? I don't really know. I'm trying to find my place. And then that boy asks you to do things that you know you don't really want to do, but you want to feel accepted and you want to feel loved. When your identity is not grounded in Christ, you're going to make decisions you don't want to make. But when you are reminded, I am a daughter of the King, I'm a daughter of the King of Kings, and daughters of the King don't have to live like that. I can say no to some things, right? I can stand firmly in who I am in Christ. I can make a better decision. Boy, some of you guys, you're getting caught in temptations, right? There's certain things you're like, it makes me feel a little dirty, but at the same time, everyone else is and I should engage in that. But when you realize you are a son of the King, I don't have to live like that. I don't got to get down in the mud and play anymore. No, I'm a son of the King. I get to live like that. It changes. It gives you a spiritual fortitude to say, I don't got to live like everybody else does, right? I'm a son of the King of Kings. Moms out there, right? Some of you women out there, you get in this place where you're like, oh, I'm scrolling through social, trying to get more likes. I gotta get more likes. I need more. I got people like me. Guess what? When you realize you're a daughter of the King, you don't need everybody else. You don't need all of them to say, you're so great. No, you just get to say, this is who I am. I don't need everybody else to affirm me in some way. No, I get to be firm in who I am. I am a daughter of the King. I don't need somebody else to say that. And men, this is the one that the men out there, we struggle with. I struggle with it, and I talk to guys all the time that struggle with this. Because men, we're constantly trying to prove ourselves. Like we feel like we've got to be, and that's good. God has given us the calling to provide. He's given us a calling to be a covering, right? He's invited us to do that. But for all of us, we carry all these different titles in life, you know, where you're at work, you know, your roles, maybe it's as a husband, father, some of these other things. You'll carry all these roles. But before all of those roles, you're a son. The weight of the world does not have to fall on the shoulders of a son. We get to place those on the shoulders of our father. And men, it means we can step up and say, I don't have to live like all the other men. I don't have to get stuck in the bondages and the sin that other, no, I get to have a spiritual fortitude to say, no, I don't gotta play in the mud anymore. And some of you men are still caught in addiction. Some of you men are still struggling with temptation that's pulling you down. And the reason is because you feel like a weak, broken. I know this because I've talked to many men struggling with things like addiction to pornography and stuff. And there's so many men that I know are still battling that. You're quietly battling that as a temptation in your life in some way. And what happens is we have this mindset that says, I'm dirty, I'm stuck in the mud down here, and I'm trying to be good for God. And we're like trying to get up to be good enough for God when he's saying, no, you are a son, quit going down to the mud. You don't have to do that. You're my child. So live like it. For me, this is one I have to wrestle a lot because I am, you know, in my roles, I play lots of roles. I'm here, I'm Pastor Greg here, leading people, I'm husband, I'm father, I'm all these kind of things. And I'll be honest, as a pastor, it can be challenging because I do. I feel like I bear, you know, Amber and I do this all the time. We feel like we're bearing the weights of a lot of other people all the time. Like I get up to preach and I look at the eyes and I could spout off 20 of you right now that are going through challenges that I know about. And I feel heaviness from those kind of things. And then I have to get up every week and I have to get in front of a crowd, about 1,000 people listen to me on a Sunday, communicate. And there can be like an intimidation about like, I got to go prove myself. I got to go look, I got to be Pastor Greg and I got to impress everybody. Cause I know what it's like to be on the other side. And you're like, yeah, that wasn't very good today. You know, I know the thoughts that naturally go through it. And so there's an insecurity that can come with that. And so if I've got to get up here and constantly prove myself, that's really hard. But when I can come and I got on my knees this morning in the back room and I got to get on my knees for a moment while I was going through this and say, God, thank you that I'm for any of that garbage. I'm your son. I don't have to bear the weight of all that stuff. I get to live in the peace and the comfort of knowing, God, I'm not out here to perform. Here to simply do what you've asked me to do to the best of my ability. And there's a peace that can come with that. There's a comfort that can come. And I think for some of us, we've been striving so much. We've been exhausted because we're in the ocean trying to swim it, not recognizing that we can live from a fullness of being in Christ. Be reminded of what he says about us. Starting our days in a different mindset. So as we close this morning, I want to give us an opportunity just to pray. I'm going to invite you to stand with me across the room for a moment. For a moment, would you just place your hands over your heart for a moment? And I want you just, in your own words right now, just to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've provided for us. You might need to say, thank you, Jesus, for calling me your son. Thank you for calling me a daughter. In Christ, I get an identity. I was adopted. God, I'm chosen. Thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you've made available to us. God, we don't deserve it. For a moment right now, I just encourage you, maybe you need to repent from the fact that God, I don't believe it a lot of times. God, I don't believe that. I don't live like it, God. I'm still striving when you're saying, God, you're saying that I'm free in Christ. I don't always believe that, Lord. God, I pray that you would forgive us. God, that we don't believe the truth. Instead, we live off of our feelings, God. God, would you forgive us of that? God, would you forgive us of the times that we forget what you've provided for us. We forget that you saved us. You saved us years ago, but now we've just gotten so casual about it, we don't even think about it anymore. God, forgive us of that, Lord. God, would there be a freshness to our hearts today, Lord? God, I pray for those across this room that are struggling with issues of temptation, issues of of sin in some way, God. They've been playing in the mud, feeling guilty, feeling like they're off, but not recognizing that they can stand strong in who they are. They don't have to live that way anymore. God, I pray, Father, that you would break the lies of the enemy today. Break off the lies that say, nope, that's how you're always gonna be. You're always gonna be stuck. That's just how you are. God, I pray that you would break that off in the name of Jesus, and instead there'd be freedom in this place today, God. God, that there would be hope in this place today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For some of you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask for a physical response. I'm going to ask you just in your own heart right now. There's some of you, and maybe you've never gotten in the boat. You've never gotten in the boat. And today you need to surrender your heart to Christ. You need to submit to Christ. Right now, I just give you an opportunity to have a moment in your own heart. Say, God, I want to surrender to you. I want to give you my life. God, would you meet me right now, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for what you've provided for us. Lord, I pray this week as we live our lives, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't go through the motions doing what we always do, but instead, God, even at the beginning of our day, could we for a moment just be reminded of who we are, God? Be reminded that we are sons and daughters. Lord, I pray that we would begin to live like it. Not to try and attain it, not to try to earn it, but instead to live from what you've already said we are. Pray that, ask that in the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen.